The Geek Cave, brought to you by BuzzTime. Great minds drink alike. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. And GameStop, power to the players. Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, O searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of the Geek Cave Podcast. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
And this is the comic book segment. As always, first, best.
Okay, glorious leader.
By the way, the portrait of me is now hung in your bedroom above, on the ceiling above your bed. So I'm the last thing you see and the first thing you see in the morning.
Yeah, okay.
And like,
just assume I sleep on my back.
Most people just say they hope the tape gives out in the middle of the night. So yeah, welcome back. Glad to have you. This is the comic segment, and it's brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. BuzzTime, great minds drink alike, and GameStop, power to the players.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. No.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So now that we have the official business out of the way, what sort of weird comic book news do we have, guys?
Sounds like the review of last month's minutes.
Let the record show that we had awkward silence for the first 8 seconds of the recording after the intro.
Let the record also show it was Justin's fault and he sincerely apologizes for it.
Actually, I think that goes under good of the order today. Like, you can't apologize last week if you didn't apologize last week.
Motion to recommend people download last month's episode and move on to this month. Say aye.
Second.
Aye. All right, moving along.
Oh, who's got comic book news?
Everyone loves a good government humor. All right.
And that was nothing like good government humor.
I've got just a little bit. In case you haven't been paying attention.
It's about as disjointed as normal government.
Yeah. Actually, a little bit more efficient, really. We got through that. That would have taken, as someone who works as a reporter in real life, that would have taken like an hour to get through.
Then there's filibusters and all sorts of...
You know, I know that we're just approving the minutes, but on principle, I'm going to disagree with that guy. Oh, enough humor. Jokes. Yeah, so, the button is a big storyline that DC Comics
But who's got the button?
We're getting to it. It's a big storyline DC just wrapped up. It's part of the big rebirth kind of thing, where DC is bringing back not just sexy, but also some of their more classic storytelling elements. Reverse Flash is dead again for
woo-hoo
some reason. Looks like it looks like it is in fact Dr. Manhattan behind the events of
gasp.
Rebirth and the New 52 and why it sucked and all that stuff. And
is that really the story they're going with? Is, you know, we had this span of months where everything sucked. We need to fix that suctitude.
Yeah. Essentially, yeah. The whole idea is, for those of you who haven't been playing along at home, during the new 52...
How dare you?
During the new 52, things got a lot darker for pretty much everybody. And finally, DC listens to fan criticism and they do Rebirth and it's light and there's still room for serious storytelling, but there's also room for telling a joke for God's sake. And the whole explanation...
Superman smiles.
Oh my God. Superman's book is the best book in Rebirth right now. And I am not joking. I'm not just saying that as a Superman fan.
Yes, he is.
But I'm not objectively.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, objectively, Superman's the best book right now. Wally West returns from being held in a pocket of the Speed Force, where he says that whoever's responsible for all this locked him up. And when he returns, a little button, the button from Watchmen, Comedian's button, gets embedded in the wall of the Batcave. So this has just kind of been hanging over us for almost 2 years of Rebirth. And now we're finally going to start putting the pieces together. Batman and Barry Allen are investigating the button's origin. Reverse Flash steals the button and he goes into the Speed Force because he says where the button came from will allow him to rewrite history any way he wants. Kind of like how Dr. Manhattan can rewrite reality any way he wants. Reverse Flash gets there. He sees someone off panel. He freaks out. He thinks it's God and then is obliterated in the same way Rorschach was obliterated in Watchmen and the same way Pandora.
For those of you who haven't read Watchmen, it's very messy. That's the way Rorschach was obliterated.
And the same way Pandora and Metron have died in the Rebirth continuity right after they see someone off panel and they say, I'm on to you or something like that. So it's clear what they're building towards. Jay Garrick returns briefly in Flash 22. So does Thomas Wayne from Flashpoint. Bruce gets to meet his father. Two Batmen working alongside each other for a short period of time. And
Bat-Dad.
And one of the biggest storytelling elements that could have huge ramifications later on is that Thomas Wayne tells Bruce, don't be Batman. You don't have to do this for me. You don't have to do this for your mother. Just be happy. And at the end of the button, Bruce Wayne is looking at the bat signal in the sky. Alfred says, sir, aren't you going to answer that? And Bruce hangs his head and walks away. So who knows what's going to happen with Batman? It's a really big character defining moment. There's going to be a Batman. The question is, will it still be Bruce? Will it be someone else? We know that Tim Drake is being held in a pocket dimension by someone. Who knows?
I'd write it so that Bruce goes right out. Like, he hangs his head because he realizes he's made his choice a long time ago, and he does need to be Batman.
Yeah. I like to think that Bruce will still be Batman, but he will be able to not be so brooding about everything. He will take the time to find pleasure in life.
Batman
as well
66
as being
becomes
Batman.
Canon.
But then there were the 60s. Was weird.
But Jay Garrick returns, and it's not Jay Garrick from DC's New 52 Earth 2. It's Jay Garrick, as in the classic incarnation of the character. And he tries the same thing that worked with Wally. He tries to reach out and touch Barry's arm. But as soon as he does, he's whisked away by a blue shaft of light, much like what happened to Eobard Thawne. Reverse Flash. I'm not saying that name.
Eobard.
Much Thawne, like what happened
Eobard,
to
Thawne.
Much
Thawne.
Like Thawne.
Thawne. Thawne.
Much like what happened to the bad guy in the yellow Flash suit. And we don't know if Jay Garrick is alive or not. But I think the button's worth picking up. If you haven't gotten the individual issues yet, wait until the trade. It'll be easier to follow.
So the button is a story that crosses a lot of different...
It ticks off a lot of boxes from like the overarching mystery in DC Rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads directly into one that I'm really looking forward to. It's called Doomsday Clock. It happens in November. Superman is going to meet Dr. Manhattan. Superman has been at the center of the Rebirth storyline. Mr. Mitziat Spitlick recently announced in the Superman comics that when all of this happened, it always comes back to Superman. Any kind of crisis, for some reason, it's always you. You're always at the center of it. And now it looks like we're going to get Superman and Dr. Manhattan face-to-face. Probably not the big throwdown that everyone's expecting. For all we know, Dr. Manhattan may just blink him out of existence. Who knows? But that'll be happening in
again.
November. Again. Yeah, and then we'll have another young douchey Superman for a few months.
Maybe Dr. Manhattan is Superman.
Ooh. Maybe it's an alternate. Ooh, I like that.
Hmm.
Wow. Maybe there was something that happened where he, like, it's, you know, the big blue thing that's killing all the bad guys is Dr. Manhattan, but so is Superman. It's just kind of a dual personality thing, and he doesn't realize it.
I liked that. That's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
The only other...
I am nothing if not terrifying at sometimes.
The only other thing I have that is noteworthy for comics is that it looks like the Ultimate Universe is slowly seeping into the Marvel Universe.
Snicked.
We saw that Secret Empire, the latest issue, ended with another Steve Rogers showing up and saying that he's Steve Rogers and he's just trying to find his way home. So this is the way Marvel is going to fix Hydra Cap, essentially. Is that, oh, no, this is the real Steve Rogers, and he just happens to be from the Ultimate Universe or something like that. But also, the Ultimate Universe's Wolverine is now running around in the pages of X-Men Blue. So if you miss the Ultimate Universe, congratulations, it's coming back.
Little by little.
I'm just waiting for the next movie, the next Avengers movie to come out. And Marvel, instead of trying to bring everything back to status quo, just ends the storyline and just starts a new one.
They should.
And just pretends that it did, that the other one didn't exist.
No. Reboot.
Yeah, just reboot right in the middle. It's like, no, there's no closure to this story.
Nope.
Write your own, fan.
Oh, no. All right, well, that's all I've got for comics. Oh, and Mary Jane's going to be Venom.
I'm somehow turned on and yet terrified.
Do what you want with that.
Hmm.
Carry on.
I'll be in my bunk, but mostly cowering in fear.
So is Tom Hardy, I think.
Yeah, in the movie. Face it, Tiger, you just hit the blah.
Oh, Chad, you got anything for comics?
Not today. I'm shrugging hard.
Shrug
harder. Harder. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, he's shrugged out, folks. He has
shrugged again.
He ain't got nothing.
Shrugeddon.
Shrugpocalypse.
So, for this month's long box, it has a slight spoiler aspect to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, one of the mid-credit scenes.
Sit right back and you'll hear a spoiler!
Yeah. So, spoiler alert. I mean, it has nothing to do with the overarching storyline of the movie, but still, spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, what the hell is wrong with you?
Seriously.
Pause this, go see it, and then come back.
We'll wait.
We'll talk about it during the movie segment.
Yes. And we're back. Okay. You saw it. You liked it. Good. Here we go. So for this month's long box, I'm going to talk about Adam Warlock, or also known as Him.
Ah.
For those of you who...
He. No,
it's knee.
Knee. Him.
We'd like to apologize to our sponsors. This segment's going to take much longer than it should.
Him.
And for once, it's not my fault.
Dude, you are totally harshing my mellow.
Mark your calendars, folks.
Him.
I'm not the one screwing things up.
Him.
Oh, by the way, keep track of how many times Chad has said him. We have a prize for you at the end of the show.
Adam.
End of the segment, anyway.
So, at the end of the Guardians movie, what was the name of that race, the gold people?
I don't remember. I just called them the gold people.
The Sovereign.
The Sovereign, yes, the Sovereign. At the very end, during one of the mid-credits scenes, the High Queen of the Sovereign were sitting there, and she was talking to someone about how they were going... She had come up with a new way to kind of create their people, and they flashed on this very intricate gold cocoon with a light at the top, and she said, "I think I'll name him Adam."
Yeah, squeed. Lori's like, "What the hell is wrong with you?"
I know. I did that's the exact same thing happened with me and my wife, and I had to explain it to her, and this is kind of an extension of that explanation. That is alluding to a character named Adam Warlock, also known as Him.
Him.
Thank you, Chad.
Yeah, Justin's Hims don't count. It's just Chad's.
It's just Chad's. And you'll know them by the distinctive...
Him.
Yes. So... Adam Warlock was created in... his first earliest appearances were in like September, October of 1967. He was created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, but he was significantly developed later on by Roy Thomas and Jim Starlin. At the time, Roy Thomas, Marvel's editor-in-chief and penciler Gil Kane, wanted to revamp
him
as kind of an allegorical messiah. They explain that Thomas was a fan of the soundtrack to Jesus Christ Superstar and sought to bring kind of that story into a comic book in a superhero context.
Him is Jesus. Him is Jesus. Him is Jesus.
But he was careful about the Christ parallels and in the hopes that there would be little outcry if it was handled tastefully, which it was, because I didn't realize that until today.
Yeah, me neither.
And they also chose kind of a pre-existing character, which in this case, Adam was. Then they just kind of revamped him. And instead of putting him kind of on mainstream Marvel Earth, they created a counter-Earth, which is basically a chunk from Earth set in orbit on the opposite side of the sun.
Nice.
And perpetually the 60s.
I kind of want to visit that.
Hallelujah.
Thomas and Kane also collaborated on the costume, which was a red tunic with a gold lightning bolt as their kind of homage to Fawcett Comics 40s and 50s character Captain Marvel, which later became DC's Shazam. So, yeah.
Hmm.
Shazam.
Shazam, yes. Oh, moving papers. So, basically, Adam or him.
Yep.
I was just waiting for you to.
I know you were.
Okay.
Don't give me too many. I have to count after this. So.
Lord knows Darren can't count past 20, so.
Why do you think I'm in radio?
21 if he takes off his pants. If you don't get that joke, I ain't explaining it.
Theater of the mind.
So scientists from Earth calling themselves the Enclave created an artificial perfect human who initially calls himself Chad.
Him.
Thank you. After rebelling against his creators and having a conflict with Thor, him, that was me, decides to leave Earth and travel into space. Encounters the high evolutionary that give him the name Warlock. Because reasons. They request himself in saving the artificially created planet Counter-Earth, which is the chunk of Earth on the opposite side of the sun, from the evil Man-Beast.
Man-Beast?
Man-Beast!
Man-Beast.
Mm. Man-Beast.
That was Darren's nickname in college.
High school, college, every other Tuesday.
Congratulations.
As the French say, la rau.
I'm just imagining that now, and it's kind of glorious. Yeah, you walk in the streets of Paris. It smells to high heaven. The Eiffel Tower is there in the foreground, and
demonstrators everywhere.
A whole bunch of, you know, young couples in love are just looking deep into each other's eyes, smiling softly, and going, "Wow,
it's glorious, isn't it?"
Yeah.
So
they also have very thin mustaches on the men, and the women are all wearing berets. That's my theater.
The theater of the mind.
Skunks are playfully hopping along, yelling for their mon petit chéri. I'm coming to find you. Anyway, in order to aid Warlock in his quest to defeat the evil Man-Beast, they give him the green soul gem, or the soul stone. It's an infinity stone. You see where this is going, folks.
Yeah.
And this allows him to capture the souls of other beings. While he's on Counter-Earth, he befriends a bunch of teenagers, and they give him the name Adam. Thus, Adam Warlock.
All right.
Ta-da.
All right. There you go.
He encounters the Universal Church of Truth, an intergalactic religious organization led by corrupt Magus.
Magus? Magus?
M-A-G-U-S.
Magus.
Magus, Magus.
Magus. Magus.
He allies with...
Sorry, I'm trying to...
Mad U.S.
I guess Magis would be teacher, Magister. So Magnus would be
no, that's Magneto's
Magus. I don't know what that means.
I don't know either. It should, there you go.
Sounds like it should have a meaning. I'm going to look it up. You keep talking about him.
Thank you. He allies himself with Pip the Troll, Gamora, and Thanos, of all people. Yeah, I'm getting there. Yeah. To oppose Magus, whatever we're calling him. And Warlock actually discovers that Magus is a future version of himself who traveled back in time after being driven insane by the use of his soul gem.
Oh, that's...
Who knew?
You know, that happens like every other year.
Who knew? You stick an infinity stone to your forehead that lets you capture people's souls, and it drives you insane.
Huh, I would never have seen that
coming. I never would have seen that coming either.
That should come with an instruction manual or something. Like, warning, hot when absorbing souls.
Oh, so... Warlock chooses to alter his timeline by visiting himself a few months into the future and steals his own soul to prevent Magus from ever existing, and then continues on his journey knowing he's going to die. He just doesn't know when. So, you know, what? Like the rest of us.
What?
He knows how he's going to die, just not when.
Okay.
Because, you know, reasons.
Cool.
Huh. Yeah.
Magician.
Oh, that's well, Magus, see, there yeah. you go.
And derogatorily, sorcerer, trickster, conjurer, charlatan, wizard.
That's so wizard.
Everything's coming up, Magus.
When... Okay, now I know what you guys feel like when I derail you. I apologize. I'm going to keep doing it. Don't get me wrong. But now I can empathize with you all.
This is what happens when everyone gets to lead their own segment. Chaos.
I'm doing what I normally do here at this point in the segment, no matter who's in charge. When someone attempts to steal Warlock Soul Gem, and this guy's name is Perfection, they could not have come up with a better name for this character. The Stranger.
When one hand falls asleep,
yeah.
And then you use it to...
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Theater of the mind.
Theater of the mind. When he tries to steal Warlock's soul gem, then he learns about five other related gems, the Infinity Stones, and how Thanos gained possession of these with the intent of destroying Earth's sun. Of all things, if you have the power to manipulate everything, why destroy Earth's sun? Why? Of all the things you could destroy.
You hate male children?
No, S-O-N.
That is?
No, S-U-N.
Oh.
Because it's there.
We're going to edit that out. It's S-U-N.
We're not editing that out. We don't edit.
No. Only when absolutely necessary.
Even when we say, oh yeah, we're playing this song because reasons, we never add the song in.
If you want something to be edited out, well, let me tell you how I feel about... Where's the dump button when we need it?
It's in the toilet. It's the flusher.
That would be a great dump button sound effect.
Where in the hell was I?
Blowing up the sun.
Oh, yeah. Thanos wanted to blow up Earth's sun. He and Warlock enlists the aid of the Avengers to stop Thanos. And, yeah, they do that.
All right.
He's also... it's during that point that his younger self shows up and steals his soul and, you know, he dies. But he's temporarily freed from the soul gem to turn Thanos to stone and save the Earth.
Okay.
And then he's dead again.
All right. Cool.
Then he's resurrected.
Son of a...
Yeah, I ain't done yet.
Hey, remember Jesus?
I remember Jesus.
No, this is the allegory for...
So there had to have been a resurrection.
Uh-huh.
Point. Superman's was better. Carry on.
Let Jack Kirby have his day in the sun.
Yeah,
at God least knows Jesus... Stan Lee never did.
At least Jesus had the decency to only wait 3 days before being resurrected. How long did it take Superman? Like a year?
Well, I mean, he...
Plus all the imposters we had to wade through.
Yeah, well, to be fair, Jesus had a lot of imposters, too.
And to be doubly fair, a year in our time Whereas in like comic book time, that was maybe a week. Maybe two.
No, come on.
Maybe a month.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I don't remember. I've read it once.
We're talking at least 6 months here.
Fine. 6 months.
And really, Cyborg Superman. That's the best they could come up with in terms of name.
Really? A guy named John Henry, who's named Steel, is the best thing they could come up with?
I know, but Cyborg Superman?
The Metropolis Kid?
I'm not saying the rest of them are good.
Don't call me Superboy.
I think we're getting off track. Anyway, Warlock.
We were on a track?
Him gets rebirthed.
Chad.
Him.
There you go. There's another one. yeah, he's
just so calming.
Anyway, this is gonna go on far. I might as well just stop now. I got a lot more to cover.
He comes back,
fights Thanos again.
Does stuff.
Infinity
Gauntlet happens. He temporarily takes possession of the gauntlet and is purged into pure good and pure evil, leaving a third Adam Warlock, which is, you know, Vulcan, essentially. just a very logical, reasonable being. And then he has to stop the two good evil halves from, or thirds in this case.
Superman red, blue, and violet.
Oh, at one point he's kidnapped by Annihilus to be like a living battery. His friend Pip rescues him. He's comatose at the time, and he starts smacking Adam to wake him up. And when he wakes up, he's so startled he destroys the universe.
Oh, you know.
Because reasons. He wills Thanos back into to existence, and he agrees, yeah, we need to fix this. So they contact the One Above All. That's the name of the character, One Above All. Don't ask me.
Oprah.
She is the queen of daytime television.
This is true. Long may she reign. And he agrees to recreate the universe with the condition that Adam becomes the new living tribunal. And so what they ended up doing was pulling an older Adam back in, so that now there's two Adamses.
I just got the allegory for Adam in 3. I just figured that one out. So
yeah.
You know, father, son, holy. So yeah, took me a while. Sorry.
It's all right.
It's a long bunch of stuff that he
went
through.
I know, and it's not even funny, and I feel bad, but I keep getting derailed. I had jokes, but I've lost them.
You ever wonder if maybe things are a little bit too much when a fictional biography is longer than an actual biography?
And I'm reading the abridged version, folks.
Sheesh.
Adam Warlock has a long history.
Yeah.
That many of us didn't even know about.
Yeah.
And may not be important to any,
that's true,
any future movie.
As the allegory for Jesus, he has your typical Christ-like powers: strength, speed, durability, stamina, flight, manipulation of cosmic energy and energy projection.
And to be able to give a wicked purple nurple from across the room.
Flight and recuperation. He can be seen on such wonderful TV shows as The Superhero Squad, or as my wife calls it, Teeny Tiny Mini Avengers.
Mm.
The Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, and as previously mentioned, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, but only in a very brief non-speaking cameo.
Man, I read the wrong Bible. Typical Christ-like powers.
You don't know. You weren't there.
You're right. I wasn't.
Man, I am really disappointed in Matthew, Mark, and Luke for not telling me about these things. John did pretty amazing. John did good work.
So, I mean, so yeah, that's Adam Warlock. For better or worse, interruptions and all, there it is. Take it and run. Long story short, go see Guardians 2. It was enjoyable.
Yeah.
That's all I got for comics. Darren, you got anything else?
No, just to announce what we're giving away.
Okay, go for it.
As a result of
him,
all of that. So, yeah. In celebration of Wonder Woman hitting theaters, right after this episode goes up, we're giving away a copy of Grant Morrison's Wonder Woman Earth 1, where he kind of retells Wonder Woman's origin, puts it in modern day. And you can win that if you, on Twitter, when you see this post, tell us how many times. How many times? Chad said
him.
Just like that. And that one counts.
Yes,
by the way. So
if he says it in any of the other segments, it doesn't count. Just strictly comics.
Just strictly comics. And yeah, that's pretty much all I got.
Okay. Chad, do you have anything else to add or say? Or
I do not.
All right.
This time.
Well, that wraps up the comic book segment. Download the next two because they need all the support they can get. See you then.